In our society, it's not hard to see that pride is a very much a factor in the behavior of people. We have pride in our work. We have pride in ourselves, and they call that self-esteem, and it's supposed to be a virtue. We now even have people having pride in their sins. It's dedicated a whole month to talk about the pride of their sin. Letters come into the church every once in a while, and they're not addressed just to the church, but they have to address it to the senior pastor instead of just pastor or preacher or reverend. Or one of the ones I really thought was interesting, the most right reverend. I was always wondering what happened to the left one. People always want to have titles, to have others look up to them. In 3 John, there's a mention of a man named Diotrephes. In the book of 3 John, and in verse 9, so I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. Imagine that. Somebody who's so prideful that they reject the Apostle John in his writings. And in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus had much to say about the Pharisees in the Jewish religion. The Pharisees in Matthew 23, it says, when Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you to do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things but do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them so much as a finger. They do all their deeds to be noticed by men. For they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassel of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. And it wasn't just limited to other factions. Even the disciples themselves got caught up in pride. In Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, and in verse 24. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which of them was regarded to be as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But this is not the way with you. But the one who is greatest among you must be like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table, but I'm among you as one who serves? Of course, we also know from the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar, the great king, the one who, you know, he had the whole world basically in the palm of his hand. And pride was his downfall. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, the king reflected and said, is it not Babylon the great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the mighty might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? And then God took him down several notches. Even among the kings of Israel, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and we are going to read at verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received, because his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. However, Hezekiah humbled the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so the wrath of the Lord did not come on them in the days of Hezekiah. I want you to notice in all the things that I mentioned, we have people from all walks of life. We have fishermen, we have kings. We have the powerful, we have the everyday. We got the religious, we got the non-religious. Pride is a problem throughout society, throughout mankind. Of course, pride means that somebody is exalting themselves. They're blowing their own horn, you would say. They're being arrogant. They disdain other people. They're high-minded. Pride is basically the opposite of what we mean by humility. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, so do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Christ showed humility. It wasn't about him. God takes on man's form to die for man. And you read through the Gospels, you find that Christ does not trumpet who he is. He never demanded his rights. We also see this in his apostles, like for instance with Paul. Paul, when he talks about himself in 1 Corinthians, because he had to defend his apostleship from those who would say that he had no authority at all. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He saw himself as not that important. Even Israel's greatest king, the one that they constantly talked about, David, we came from an insignificant family. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, 1 Samuel chapter 9, and in verse 21, Saul replied, Well, Saul said, then Samuel took Saul, his servant, and brought them into the hall and gave them, verse 21. Saul replied, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest tribe of Israel? Am I family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me in this way?" Saul had humility at the beginning. David was just a shepherd boy from an insignificant family. And Abraham, in looking at himself, in Genesis 18, Genesis 18 and in verse 27, and Abraham replies, "Now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. Compared to God, none of us are significant. And we ought to keep in mind our position, our real position in the world. See, pride is always associated with strife. A proud person wants things done his way. And without the willingness to give in for other people's sake, there's going to be arguments. There's going to be strife. In Proverbs 13, Proverbs 13 and in verse 10, through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. You can't tell somebody who's proud what really needs to be done. They won't listen. And in Proverbs 14 and verse 16, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. And think about it, the proud is very careless with the feelings of other people. They walk right over them because it's all about themselves. They have no caution. And in Proverbs 28 and verse 25, an arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. And so the Bible states quite clearly, pride is a sin. In Proverbs 21, going back to Proverbs 21 and verse 4, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. This is their guide. This is what drives them. They see everything in the light of pride. Pride of themselves. But in Habakkuk chapter 2, and in verse 4, it says, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. The proud is just plain not right in God's eyes. In fact, John mentions in 1 John chapter 2, he lists out various lusts that are present of this world. And he says in 1 John 2, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful proud pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Pride does not come from our God. It comes from this world. And that pride leads to so much chaos and so much problems that is listed among the sins that deserve death. In Romans chapter 1, verse 30, talking about slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. And down in verse 32, he says, such things are worthy of death. If you look at what caused most of the problems in this world, it started with Satan, and we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, says, and not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. What brought Satan down? Because he wasn't created sinful. It was his pride. So in one way we can say that, you know, pride's behind all the sins that occur in the world. And of course, the world boasts about its pride. Like we mentioned before, they got a whole month, Pride Month. We're told to look out for number one. I'm okay, you're okay. And Paul warns in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that there would come a day like that. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, he says, "But realize that this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, although they have denied his power. Avoid such men as these." Of course, those who are truly humble, well, those who have pride just look down their noses at them. They think there's something wrong with them. In Psalms chapter 123, Psalms 123, and in verse 4, "Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud." And sometimes it just looks like the pride are right, that they seem to get along better in this world. We had read for us from Psalm 73 about how those proud people have so much ease in this world. But I want you to notice what it states after where we ended our scripture reading. We read verses 1 to 12. But the psalmist continues in verse 13, "Surely I in vain have kept my heart pure, and I washed my hands in innocence. I have been stricken all day long and been chastened every morning. If I said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. Until I came to the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. Surely you have set them in slippery places. You have cast them down to destruction. How they are utterly destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you, and you have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. And I made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." See, the proud doesn't watch where they're going. They're careless. They don't see the dangers before them. And God puts them on slippery slopes, and they slide right down. All the while thinking they're too great to fall. There's reasons why the Bible warns us against pride. In Proverbs chapter 11 and in verse 2, it says, "When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom." It brings shame. It brings embarrassment. Because, again, they're not careful about what they do. Of course, we all have heard frequently about Proverbs 16, verse 18. It says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." Again, the pride keeps people from seeing the dangers. And they destroy themselves. And they get a little bit of help from God as well, because in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 51, Luke 1 and verse 51, He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God scatters them. They can't work together. Oftentimes when they're too prideful, they can't work together anyway. But God is behind that. He gives resistance to the proud in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and in verse 6. But he gives greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We need to learn to be humble. That's what Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 5. Starting at verse 5, it says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." All the way through the Bible, we never see pride being used in a good sense when it applies to people's view of themselves. We all like compliments. We all want to think that we're worth something. However, we got to realize that we need to consider other people as more important than ourselves. It can't be that the world is about me. I have to have a view that the world is about you. See, like too many sweets, seeking your own glory is not good for you. All of us like candy, but too much of it's not good. In Proverbs chapter 25, Proverbs 25 and verse 27, "Is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glory to search out one's own glory." I hope you think about these things. We leave an opportunity for anyone who's not yet a child of God to consider putting on Christ, to submit to the Lord, to yield yourself in baptism, to become a child of His. There's an opportunity right now, if there's anyone who wishes to do so. For those who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.